Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Toyota of Brookhaven has been voted best new car dealership in Southwest Mississippi 4 years in a row. Come see the difference. Exit 40 Brookhaven or online at toyotabrookhaven.com. Great service, great savings. At Toyota of Brookhaven, we deliver.
What's up and happy Thanksgiving on this Wednesday night. I know it's not technically Thanksgiving, but by the time most of you listen to this, it will be. And I really appreciate you being here. This is the Rebel Report Podcast. My name is Michael Corky. I'm always glad that you guys are here. Here's your Egg Bowl preview. I will at least start this talking about actual football. I assume there's going to be some comments about not the actual football game. But in the meantime, I've got a few thoughts on football, on the thing that will happen on Friday morning that involves two teams wearing helmets, and they will, line up and do football things. So we'll talk about that tonight on this edition of the show. Don't forget, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, like, subscribe, leave a comment, all that good stuff. And this edition is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Check them out online at toyotaofbrookhaven.com, toyotaofbrookhaven.com. You can see their online inventory and everything that they've got in stock there. So you don't have to, you know, get in the car and make a long drive, possibly, before you get one of the best car buying experiences in the state of Mississippi. And it will be. They'll also give you $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota. $1,000 off on me, any in-stock new Toyota. Check them out at Toyota of Brookhaven. So, this is a fascinating football game. On top of everything else, history is on the line for Ole Miss. Forget the Lane Kiffin thing for a second. Let's just place that over here for now. Ole Miss is playing for history. And the first 11-win regular season in program history, playing for the right to host a playoff game and all the things that come with that. This would be a historic streak in the Egg Bowl as well. Ole Miss has not had this dominating of a run in this game in quite some time. On top of all of that, it is a win, and you're in and hosting football game, or at least it should be. Maybe we'll get to the narrative being pushed in a little while. But for right now, there is a lot on the line for Ole Miss in this game. And so the free space is handling the pressure, handling the noise of the Kiffin stuff and a lot of the weirdness that happened last week. Maybe it's locked in a little bit better this week, but last week was certainly off. Can they handle that? Can they block all that out? And then can they understand how to manage and frankly appreciate the pressure that they're under, because they've earned the opportunity to have a pressure-packed game like the one that they've got coming up starting on Friday morning. And luckily you've seen this team periodically this season be faced with and overcome different types of adversity. It started first with their starting quarterback getting hurt in game two. In steps this guy, Trinidad Chambliss, who plays awesome, and the way that they're running offense with him, to Kiffin and Charlie Weiss Jr.'s credit, I think has been very good. But you lose more than very good. Excellent this season. You lose him in week two, and that goes really well. And Trinidad himself plays basically perfect football early, and then LSU comes to town, and he makes his first real bad mistake. And the two drives after that, he was flawless. And then you turn around, you go to Athens. It's a game you should have won. You didn't, but you should have. And you suffer your first loss. And what do? You get up right off the mat and you find yourself in an identical situation that you were in Norman, that you were in Athens. And instead of folding the way they did in Athens, a week later against a top 10 Oklahoma team on the road, as we've learned, that win is just looking better and better and better as the weeks go on. They were the ones that executed, that overcame it, that won a football game. They start facing adversity in, like, with the way they themselves played in South Carolina. Really weird start, didn't play well, ran the football well, got after the quarterback, won a game. Same thing with Florida. Got off to a weird start. Trinidad had a really bad turnover, led to points, really weird in the red zone. And then they overcame that and won that game as well. All the while you've had this, you know, discussion or whatever about what's going to happen with their coach. This team has been very impressive when it comes to how they've handled adversity, whether it was internal adversity or in-game adversity or whatever. They've navigated it beautifully. And so you hope that they can channel whatever that's been and maintain that level of play coming up on Friday, because so far they've been very good at that. And then, you know, the big most important things in this game, Mississippi State's strength, their biggest strength, is a direct counter to Ole Miss's biggest weakness. And then the same thing on the flip side. Mississippi State's biggest weakness is something that Ole Miss is very well equipped to exploit. State is a very good vertical passing team by and large. Now, they've struggled in each of the last couple of weeks. They've got quarterback things going on right now. But the score from far thing, State's very good at that. They have Thompson, they have Evans. Thompson in particular, just an absolute burner. They've gotten open really all season long. Even their bad games are still pretty darn good. And Ole Miss's secondary has been vulnerable basically all season. Coverage busts, and also at times just not having good enough players there on the back end. Whether it was a misevaluation or whatever, doesn't matter. The point is, State can exploit that if they're able to give whoever's playing quarterback some time. And on the flip side, State can't stop the run. They're very, very bad lately at stopping the run. Physicality's been an issue for them on defense. And Ole Miss not only has Kewon Lacy, and they've been running the football well, but Ole Miss is so balanced offensively and can really pick you apart in so many ways. And so last week, Missouri really only had one option offensively. They could barely complete the forward pass, and already ran for 300 yards. Ole Miss has the balance offensively with quality quarterback play, a very good group of receivers, quality tight end play, and, oh, by the way, Kewon Lacy and his ability to beat anybody with his legs. So Ole Miss has the clear advantage there. Very fascinating football game. Here's a few keys. I think number one would be make them work offensively the length of the field. People are talking about Kamario Taylor playing, starting, whatever, in this game. I don't know what's going to happen. Jeff Lebby has not indicated at any point in this season that he is going to make a change like that. He hasn't done it to this point, and it would be surprising to see him do it at this point, but it is the last game of the year. It is one that, frankly, he needs to win to preserve any capital that he has within his own fan base. But regardless of who's playing quarterback, make them work the entire length of the field. This Mississippi State team is explosive. I mentioned those two receivers. Actually have a pair of good running backs as well, this Mississippi State. But they struggle protecting, and more importantly, this is a team that is mistake-prone. And Ole Miss would be well-served to force them, even if they give up some stuff underneath, to have 10, 12 play scoring drives, because this offense to this point doesn't look like one that can consistently move the football and beat you by doing it 5-6 yards at a time, methodically moving the football down the field. They don't do that well enough. They don't protect well enough for that, and they make too many mistakes for that. So I wouldn't be surprised if you guys are at times frustrated with what Ole Miss is doing defensively, giving up some underneath stuff, because quite simply, I don't think Mississippi State is capable of driving down the field all day long. If they're going to score, they're going to have to do it quickly because they make too many mistakes not to. So allow them to have some underneath stuff. And if Taylor is, in fact, starting, he is very inconsistent on the short and intermediate stuff. So you take away the deep ball and let a true freshman, if in fact it's him, I don't know. I mean, again, Lebby has been very loyal to Blake Shapen, but Shapen's been inconsistent himself. He's not much of a running threat. make them drive the length of the field, I don't think that they can do it. Number two, heavy dose of Kiwon Lacy. I think Ole Miss should really line up and try to test the manhood of Mississippi State, because Missouri did it and they couldn't. Georgia did it and they couldn't. This state defense is getting worse, seemingly. I think that they've had some injury issues. They're not particularly great at getting after the quarterback, and they lack depth as well. So this needs to be a Kiwon Lacy game. I mean, between 25 and 35 carries for Kiwon, and I would really try to establish the run early in this game. It'll be a big tight ends game as well. But Mississippi State, I assume, is going to try to have to stack the box to beat you. And I don't know if they're capable of doing it, but you are certainly going to need to test them early in that. And finally, this needs to be a big game for Prince Will, for Cam Franklin, for Womack, for, I know they use him slightly differently now, but Centarian Perkins. This is a Mississippi State offense that is explosive, but they do not protect well at all. They've really struggled. Albert Reese, their best offensive lineman, going to play in this game. He's been banged up on and off the field this season, not even on the injury report, so he is going to play in this game. But even with him, it is an offensive line that struggles to protect. And so if Ole Miss is able to get home with just three or four and really make it hell on an offensive line that has done a pretty good job of doing that on their own, then I really like what they're going to be able to do conservatively on the back end and limit Mississippi State's biggest strength. So those guys are going to have to have big games. The opportunities are going to present themselves. They have got to make them count. And, yeah, there you go. So there's a few keys of the game. We will talk about what you guys have to say after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered. If you're a Mississippi business and you need technology in the office, absms.com. That's the website. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their online banking platform, their local loan servicing and decision-making with one of their 16 locations in Mississippi, and the way that they will treat you. They will treat you like a priority. Ask me how I know, because they do it to me every day. It's in the name at Priority One Bank. And oh, by the way, if you want your business to be a part of this, I won't make up viewership and listenership numbers. You will get hard numbers and you will see quickly that this works. And if you want to be a part of it, send me an email, Borkey@supertalk.fm. Borkey, BORKEY@supertalk.fm. If you want your company part of this podcast or your brand part of this, I can very clearly lay out for you without ambiguity exactly why this works and has worked and will continue to work even more. So there you go. All right, time for actual football talk. No kidding. Gobble, gobble. Sandlapper here. Good to see you, BP. Want to ask about the feel you're getting and what might be expected about the crowd for both sides. I do think that it will be the largest Ole Miss crowd that's ever been to this stadium. I do. So many Ole Miss fans making this trip that wouldn't otherwise. And I understand why. I mean, you want to be present for history, don't you? And on the flip side, my goodness, if Blake Shapen starts this game and they don't get off to a fast start offensively, they're going to, I mean, it's happened already this season. They're going to boo their own quarterback. They've already done it. It has already happened. I'm not projecting something that's not real. I've seen it. It has happened. And let's just pretend that they go three and out, one first down, and then punt. Their offense, namely their quarterback, will get booed off the field in this game. They will. So it's obviously a crowd that will be excited because it's the Egg Bowl and they want to beat Ole Miss badly. It's a rivalry game. You want to beat your rival, especially on your home field. But it's kind of a testy situation considering the displeasure that they've felt at the quarterback position. And frankly, they feel, and I think they're right, that coaching has cost them an extra game or two this season. So it'll be an interesting crowd. And the volume of Ole Miss fans that'll be around might create or might expand the testiness. Interesting stat, since being outscored 17-0 by Georgia in the fourth quarter in its last four games, Ole Miss has outscored opponents in the final quarter 40-0. Could be important on Friday, especially because Mississippi State has lost close games because they were the ones that shot themselves in the foot or poorly executed in the fourth quarter. I'd like to call out the College Football Playoff Committee. In no world should Ole Miss drop two spots over 3 weeks without losing a game. Name what Oregon and Tech have done that Ole Miss hasn't done and better. I mean, you can at least look at Oregon's resume top to bottom and get there. But, Hudson, what is happening here is a – I mean, you saw it with Hunter Yurecek's absolute – I mean, cringe is not even the right word. Him doing the 6-7 thing before answering – giving a non-answer about why Oregon jumped over Ole Miss. It strikes me as a group that is posturing for the possibility of not giving Ole Miss a host spot. On Three in particular has really shown their rear end today with how they're clickbaiting the hell out of, hey, look at this survey where I asked 80 people where Lane Kiffin's going to end up, including the governor of Mississippi. And look at, I mean, and the pushing, the constantly pushing of the idea that Ole Miss should fall because of uncertainty at head coach. I mean, it's a ridiculous thing that you would discuss, talk about, encourage the committee to drop Ole Miss behind Oklahoma with a better record and a head-to-head win on the road because of Lane Kiffin. It is an insane notion, but forgive me for being cynical. Do you trust Hunter Yurecek and the people in that room to not make a nonsense decision? That's why the way that they've gone about it is absolutely nuts. But I'm here to tell you, I listened to Hunter Yurecek talk last night. I don't trust him. Nobody involved should trust the committee to do the right thing. Nobody. And in my opinion, the worst part about this is you have a head coach that's not fighting for his team publicly right now. Maybe he'll do it after the season, after he decides to stay. If that's what he decides, I don't know what he's going to decide. I don't know. I'm on record. I will say it again. What's best for Ole Miss is Lane Kiffin to continue to be Ole Miss's head coach. I firmly believe that. I also believe you, the fans, have been treated poorly, like you're idiots through all of this. It bothers me to see the way that the fans and the institution have been strung along through all this. It's unacceptable. However, that is what's best if Lane Kiffin stays and maintains at head coach. It is incredibly disappointing to have your team fall two spots without losing a game, teetering on the edge of not hosting a playoff game, because beating Mississippi State's not going to give you some massive jump either. They're not going to look at that game like a big win. And you have a committee that is doing garbage 6-7 jokes on TV after releasing rankings that don't really make sense when you look at how these things have gone. You have a massive media outlet pushing the narrative that your team should fall, and the coach that was so vocal defending his team last year against the College Football Playoff Committee is silent this week, not defending his team, not going to bat for them, not questioning anything. But you did get a dog picture last night, which, don't get me wrong, I love dog pictures, especially lately. Dog pictures on the timeline are not the worst things, but that's all you got last night. That's all your football team got. Instead of a coach going to bat for them publicly like he did a year ago, as they get, frankly, screwed over in these rankings, considering, again, they have not lost yet. They haven't lost, and they've fallen despite not losing. Their coach is not going to bat for them. Why, of all times, you're choosing to be silent, this is the time you're choosing? It's another example of what I think is a remarkably disappointing way that this otherwise incredible season that your football team has had is being handled. Why are you not going to bat for your team? Why aren't you doing it? I mean, I know somebody told you to lay low online, but when your team drops after not losing twice, shouldn't you go to bat for them? I think you should. It's not a complicated game plan for Ole Miss. They already have probably the best running back in the SEC. State has the worst rushing defense in the SEC. Ole Miss can also pressure the quarterback. State is near the bottom in sacks. Yeah. I think this is a potential weather the storm on defense for some of the first half. I think they'll be beat over the top a couple of times. I do too. State will get theirs with the wide outs they have. Maybe Pete won't let safeties on an island this time. Heard smoke about Kamario Taylor starting for State. I don't expect that. Shapen is Levy's guy. I don't expect it. I do expect a quick hook, though. And I think Taylor will play more in this game than he has at any point this season. Another stat, State has not rushed for 150 yards in six of their seven conference games. They've been held to 2.4 per carry average in their last four versus Texas, Arkansas, Georgia, and Missouri. Yes, and one of their running backs missing the first half because he's been suspended by his head coach. Don't know why. State's defense also giving up 38 points per game in conference play. Ole Miss 27. They've also given up 300-plus yards rushing the last two games, and Arkansas ran for 250. They've been really bad lately. They got off to a good start, too. They've been really bad lately. Kelly Jones, what State's issue in their defense, and they have a few of them, but they've got a defensive back named Kelly Jones who's a stud. I mean, he possibly has played himself into a first-round pick this year. The problem is, like, Arizona State had one, like, high-quality receiver, and then the rest were just kind of eh. And so Kelly Jones took away their guy, and Arizona State couldn't do much after that. Ole Miss has more than just a guy. So whoever Kelly Jones is covering, I wouldn't expect to be targeted all that often. But I don't think State has anybody good enough to cover the rest of them, if that makes sense. It's a game Ole Miss has to lose instead of State winning it. It would take the Kiffin distraction affecting them, turnovers, and many secondary busts. I agree. If Ole Miss managed to lose the game, they really, and I mean really, did absolutely everything they could to lose. I get it's a rivalry, but you're the better team in almost every aspect. I agree. It's what we've said every game, except for Georgia and Arkansas. Ole Miss's other opponents have not been capable of driving the length of the field. Yeah. Season went by fast. Incredible season. Thank you, Craig. Really appreciate you. Ole Miss wins going away if they come out and run the football straight. Nothing cute. Don't show the world what genius play caller anyone is. If Chambliss has less than 20 pass attempts, it's a blowout. That's a good stat. How many pass attempts does Chambliss have? If it's under 20, Ole Miss wins by 3 touchdowns. Kiwan running the rock would also limit possessions and help State or force State and help the defense out. Yeah. Want to see the defensive line cook? Get after Shapen all day. I mean, Mississippi State's offensive line, I think, is worse than South Carolina's, if that gives you any kind of indication. Think Kiffin wants to win the game regardless. I agree. Why would he throw it or want to lose it? He's hyper-competitive. I don't buy that he would. That doesn't make sense to me. I know he's handled this terribly, but he doesn't want to lose this football game. No, he won't throw it. We've been asked that on the radio show. You think Kiffin's going to throw the game to justify leaving? It's like, no, man. Come on. He's already been battered in the national media and obviously has noticed the battering. No, we'll not throw this game on purpose. I do agree with this, though. If it were not distractions, the line would not be 7.5. It would be somewhere 11 to 12, I think. Really feel like with how the playoff committee is acting right now, Ole Miss needs to blow out State. I do not trust those people. I don't at all. Ole Miss hasn't played well in Egg Bowls under Kiffin besides 21, which could be a concern. They've always been low-scoring, ugly games. They have. I think the team will be motivated based on them dropping in the polls. They have so much to play for, they really have to try to lose it. Effort has never, Washington State, that was an effort thing. Other than that, this season, the effort and focus has been there. Almost has to win. Oklahoma beating Bama basically created a circle of losses that cancels out head-to-heads. If Ole Miss loses, they go into last. Yes, I think Ole Miss will miss the playoff if they lose this game, I think. Now, you've said Lane coming back is the best outcome, but if it gets weird, can't Ole Miss just withdraw the extension offer and reassign him until he quits? He's under contract for 6 years. The only way that he stops coaching for Ole Miss is if he has agreed to coach somewhere else. And I don't even think that'll get weird. Then it'll just end. Ole Miss will end it. I think they've got recourse to be able to do that without having to go through all of those extra steps. Thoughts on Chris Lowe saying he thinks Kiffin is staying? I also saw Chris Lowe on a satellite radio show say that if Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl, he'll stay. If they lose, he's gone. And, I mean, what a pathetic way to be. Be honest, I can't believe that is even a line of thinking. But it is what it is. Chris Lowe is obviously, and some people at On3 besides him really have, to me, looks like that they have been pushing a particular narrative that is being fed to them, whether it be from CAA or Kiffin himself. I don't know. It is noteworthy that he has said that. You want to go 4D chess. What if he's saying that to get the scent off the trail until a decision is made? I don't know. It being him is not nothing, but man, the way nationally, not local on three, I'm not talking about the local guys at all. The national on three approach to all of this has been eye-opening. Shannon Terry endorsing the McMurphy stuff, outright endorsing it. It's a serious reporting outlet is not one that attempts to generate engagement. What they should do is generate a loyal following through good reporting and commentary and thoughtful reporting and commentary. But they have clearly displayed this week that they don't care about being thoughtful. They care about generating engagement. And it's cheap. And, I mean, if it works for you, great. He's made a whole hell of a lot of money. But it's cheap is what it is. And a more serious news outlet would not conduct themselves the way that they have this week. And it's a shame because there's a lot of great people that work for them locally, a lot of great people that work for them at a local level. And they've made a lot of really good hires at a national level. But for college football media, this has not been a banner week at all. I agree. I think you're going to get good effort from Ole Miss on Friday. I do. Could it look like Tennessee did there earlier this year? I do think it could look like that. And that's why they switched the color to powder, because it stands out more. I do think it could look kind of similar to that, yeah. If Ole Miss beat State, I don't know that they don't fall behind Vandy. I know I don't trust the people in that room. I really don't. There's no way an 11-1 SEC team can fall behind a team they beat on the road or even 10-2 Vanderbilt. There's no way. There's no way. Offer will definitely be withdrawn Saturday if Ole Miss loses Friday. Will it though? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I'm very, very tired of talking about it. I mean, because there's nothing new to add. It's just more, right? Like last night, not going to bat for your team is just to me, it's just sad. Your team deserves better. You guys deserve better. You deserve better than what has happened so far. And there are some true believers that are still in my mentions and still on the text line that are claiming that all of this is all media created and he's done nothing wrong. And if you want to believe that, that's great. That's totally your prerogative. You have been mocked, or at least you have not been respected the way that I think that you deserve. Listen to Dan Lanning talk about his program and his people. John Summerall is very likely not coaching at Tulane next year. Look at how he's handled all of this, though. Look at how he talks about the people at Tulane and New Orleans. And just look around and look at what other coaches do, even ones that are in this situation, and tell me that what's happening here is no different. And I'm tired of talking about it. It's a shame that this has been such a widespread conversation. I did three interviews today, two of which states above the Mason-Dixon line, from outlets out of three. Done three interviews today, two of which were outlets north of the Mason-Dixon line. It's a national story, and they didn't even care about the game. Couldn't have cared less about the game. It's all about the decision afterwards. You guys haven't deserved this. You should have been able to enjoy this season. And regardless of how many more people listen to the radio show this week, I don't think that's worth it, because to me, the loyalists, the people that are there every day for us, that you guys that listen to this every day, I'd rather you not have to deal with this just to get a few extra listeners. So the idea that I want this is garbage too. I don't. I don't. I'm over it. I'm over it. There's nothing to add other than I think that you guys have been treated poorly, and you don't deserve it, because you have given, quite literally given, your hard-earned money to support this program in ways that you never have before. And in return, you are getting football, but you're getting this crap that comes with it. And the argument that I hate the most is, well, would you rather go back to losing again? As if that's the only option. Win and have to deal with this, or lose. Like you can't win and also not have to deal with this. That doesn't make sense. That those aren't your only two options. You can win while also not having to deal with this, but whatever. I agree with this. Neither Texas Tech or Oregon should be ranked ahead of Ole Miss. I agree completely. Over under 3.5 sacks for the Ole Miss defense. Over. He does not have to sign an extension to coach at Ole Miss next year, but, I mean, he's been offered one. Team's been excellent all season, one slip up, but they've exceeded expectations, especially in close games. They've been really good in close games. I feel like it should be the highest scoring Egg Bowl we've had in a while. The highest it's been was 31-24 in 2020. I do expect Ole Miss to score more than 31. Pulling the national talking heads is one of the dumbest things On Three could do. Look at some of the names, D, on the list of 80 or whatever that they pulled. Look at some of the names that they asked. This isn't an anti-governor thing. It's not. But why are they asking the governor of Mississippi to get involved in this? Why are you doing that? What's the point of that? Thoughts on other SEC rivalry games this weekend? Let's see. I think the Iron Bowl is going to get weird. Durkin is lobbying for that job. I think there's a real chance he gets it, especially with a win. But I don't know. I don't know if they'll get it. Georgia Tech seems like a really safe bet to me. I don't know why, but it does. Don't sleep on Texas pulling the upset. Kentucky, Louisville, Stoops has already saved his job. Beamer will have the hottest seat in the SEC if he loses this game. Oklahoma is going to run through LSU, which is going to make the committee's decision, et cetera, even more difficult. I think Vanderbilt's magic is going to end here in Knoxville. Almost D's better than Mississippi State's. Yes, it is. And Keywan, we trust. 30 carries. 25 to 35 carries somewhere in there. It's a player on each team you think could have a big impact from off the radar. Andrew Jones, that Mississippi State rushing offense. I mean, Mississippi State has a pair of pretty darn good running backs. I think Andrew Jones is going to be big for Ole Miss in this game. For State. Who would that be for State? I already mentioned Kelly Jones. I mean, would it be Zakari Tillman? pretty darn good linebacker. Also, they need great linebacker play to help stop the run. So it's probably there are two linebackers, two running attacks that can really have some success. And so those are two quality players. If he stays and signs a big deal, does Carter just do this exact same song and dance next year when DeVore's run out of Alabama? Day leaves for the league, raised to 17 next year. No, I don't think that. I mean, if you're Alabama, can you watch this circus and think you want to be a part of it? I don't know. Maybe they do. I don't think it'll go down like this again. I don't think the fans are going to accept it going down like this again. And I sure know that all of the capital that has been built up, if they lose four games next year, you guys won't forgive it. You won't excuse it. If he's going to talk so publicly about how nobody cares, there's no emotions, it's all about money and all that, well, you guys are going to treat him like that next time around. I don't think that there will be that push, the desperate push anymore. I think all of that capital has been spent now. Perkins will be key for containing Taylor, absolutely. Key one for Heisman. Well, it'd be great if he was promoted at all, but nope. Without distractions, Ole Miss should crush State by 3 touchdowns. Hopefully all the noise is forgotten. A kickoff. Issue with State, besides the let's win the Egg Bowl and go bowling mantras, they have no momentum going into this game. None. Also, I don't know how much the team is going to be jacked up about getting to play in the Birmingham Bowl or whatever. Summary on how you think the game will go and a score prediction. I think State will score early, and it'll be something like 10-10, 14-14, something like that early, and maybe even close going into the half, and then Ole Miss's talent and depth will take over in the second, and Ole Miss will win the game something like 40-24 or 42-24, something like that. A lot of points back and forth early, talent and depth takes over later. Basketball tips in over 2 hours. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way I'm making it to that one. How's Clemson, South Carolina rivalry compared to the Egg Bowl? Very similar. Egg Bowl has more fun and interesting games and results over the years. How this game could affect the Mississippi State side? I mean, people, if Ole Miss wins this game, the State fan base, by and large, is going to check completely out on football. I mean, they hosted Texas, Georgia, Tennessee, and stadium wasn't full for any of them. Had a really hard time selling tickets, and the only time the stadium did kind of look like they were able to was because Tennessee brought a lot of people. Georgia brought a lot of people. Texas did. But even then, I mean, they're visible empty seats. Their one conference win in 2 years would have been a 2-10 Arkansas team. Very little to be excited about. Jeff Lebby needs this game badly. He's not going to get fired, but there will be very, very little going into next year in terms of anything that fans can grab onto other than Kamario Taylor. But it will be bleak without a win. It'll be very bleak. You think Lowe was being honest about Lane Stanley if we win? I mean, he was guessing, but yeah, I don't know. Regardless of opponents, just the game Ole Miss should go win. They'll have a significant away crowd boost. If they lose, it's on them. I agree. Has Kiffin considered the 9-game conference schedule next year? Are places like LSU and Florida going to recalibrate what constitutes a good season when you average 3 conference losses going forward? Oh, hell no, they won't recalibrate their line of thinking. But to be honest with you guys, I'm just kind of done talking about it, though, if that's okay. I mean, I'm But yeah, many national reporters are going to be there. Everyone mad at Ole Miss should be vocal as heck with how their program is getting drugged through the mud on national TV, cracking 6-7 jokes, dropping your team. They should be livid. Stand up for your team. Yeah. Not really taking the coaches on the way out, conflicted our 0-3 and Egg Bowls is a serious thing. Me either. I'm assuming Chapin starts. Lebby seems very loyal to him, but the poll wasn't supposed to be anything official, more just fun. But it's when you are the outlet that they are, just having fun with something like that is. It's unserious. If you want to be viewed as unserious, that's fine, but you can't pass as legitimate, serious reporting outlet while also running that garbage. It'd be different if it was just like on the Andy Staples, who I like Andy Staples a lot, by the way, but, you know, Andy and Ari, that's an entertainment show. So you expect them to kind of do goofy stuff like that. But when you're asking a reporter to do a survey involving the governor of the, I mean, what do the Barstool personalities think about what Lane Kiffin's going to do? It's unserious is what it is. What's a realistic path to a state victory other than the distraction aspect? A lot of busted coverages from Ole Miss, a lot of them, and turnovers. Busted coverages and turnovers. That's the path. How many Ole Miss fans do I think will be in Starkville? Between 15 and 20,000. Turkey or ham guy? Turkey, always. Especially, oh, I forgot Cajun butter. Dang it. I went to the grocery store. Wonder if they'll be open in the morning. I assume they will be. Gosh darn it. Totally forgot. Oh, now it's too late to go, too. Oh, man, I forgot the injectable butter. I've got it in a brine right now. I hope. Gosh dang it. I'll go check in the morning. Oh, man. Anyway, we'll be live after the game. I will see you guys on Friday afternoon, regardless of the result. We will wait until after the press conference for obvious reasons, and then we will go live and go from there. I'll see y'all then. Y'all have a good night. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I really, truly appreciate all of you, and I will see you guys on the next one. Wait, real quick, Jeff says 15 to 20,000 fans at your in-state rivalry game. See, that's why Lane wants to leave right there. Game's on the road, man. So, yeah. I'll see you guys Friday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.